Welcome to Past Due Radio, episode number 92. Live from Raleigh, North Carolina, welcome to Past Due Radio. I'm your host, Derek Sisterhen, where it's never too late to make it count. Thank you so much for being here this morning. It's a snowy morning in Raleigh. Again, what is going on? I do not understand. We keep having snow. A couple weeks ago, I had to actually bump the show to Friday in order to accommodate the weather. But hey, you know what? That's all right. A little snow doesn't bother Derek's sister hen, okay? I can drive in that mess. Anyway, it is Relationships Month. We're talking about love. We're talking about relationships. We're also talking about how money is attached to all of it, because whether we like to think about it or not, money touches everything, and especially when it comes to our relationships. So I've got some fun and exciting guests that are going to be joining me here in a couple of minutes. But before we get to them, let's talk through a couple of housekeeping things. First off, if you were in the pre-show there, you got to hear a few love-related and intimacy-related songs. I had Godsend by DC Talk going and Sexual Healing by Rockapella. You'll remember them from Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego fame. But nothing like a little sexual healing a cappella style to get you up in the morning. PastDueRadio.com, of course, is where you can go to watch, listen, chat, subscribe to podcasts. You can even leave comments after you've heard a show. We archive everything out there. And because it's Relationships Month, last week, this week, and the next 2 weeks will be all about relationships, and not just between husbands and wives. Next week, I'm actually going to talk about children. Those little rascals that have dollar signs attached to them, right? So all these things are related to relationships. Ooh, there's a little line from the Department of Redundancy Department, related to relationships. So you can go and leave comments based on your relationships experience or faux pas or, you know, snafus or successes out there at PastDueRadio.com. I highly encourage you, if you didn't check out last week's episode, to check it out. I had counselor April Miller on, and we were talking about setting good boundaries, not just with your money, but also in your relationships, especially in your marriage. I also want to welcome all of our new listeners, all of our friends that are joining us through all of our different channels of connection out there, like Twitter. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Facebook, too. I'd love to connect with you out there. A couple other things. Call me. Send me your email questions. Mailbag@pastdueradio.com is where you can email me your questions. You can also call me at our call-in line, 919-374-0501. That's 919-374-0501. And you can leave a message with your question or with your comment. Couple of things to be thinking about in the days ahead. Starting in March, I'm planning to do a couple of shows on investing, strategies, what we've learned from the current market situation and those kinds of things, because I've had a lot of conversations with folks about that, and I think it's probably a good time to address a few of those. Plus, it's tax time, and everybody's thinking, geez, what do I got to do to reduce my tax burden? I don't want to have a huge tax bill next year, and so we can talk through some of those things as well. Probably have a couple trusted partners get in on that conversation so that we can get a couple experts to weigh in. So aside from all those things, I want to entice you to ask your questions. And so I've got something to offer you. I'm going to put a carrot at the end of the stick for you. And that is that yesterday, Justin, who also hosts CoachRadio.tv, he and I worked for about 3 hours finalizing a project that has been in the pipeline here for a little while. It's Past Due Essentials. It's a three-part series that I teach online. It's about saving money, putting together a budget that actually works, and dumping your debt. That is done. So you can actually get that now. If you go to PastDueRadio.com, you can see the link to it right up there on the webpage. If you call in with a question or you email in a question, our panel of judges will determine the quality of your question. And from that, we will decide whether we're going to send you a free version of Past Due Essentials. That's right. Put you through it for free. I'm just kidding. We don't have a panel of judges. I will be randomly selecting those who send in questions. But I'd love to offer you that for sending in a good question. All right. Relationships Month. I'm going to bring in our friends here that have joined us all the way from the West Coast Tony and Elisa DiLorenzo, they are the couple that is laying it down, calling it what it is, at oneextraordinarymarriage.com. If you haven't checked it out, you need to check it out. These folks have an awesome story. They're doing some killer podcasts. I've been listening to all their podcasts and waiting with bated breath for the next one. So I think that you'll enjoy checking those out. They're joining us today. We're going to be talking about intimacy. And yes, we're going to be talking a little bit about physical intimacy because they have got an awesome story of some of the things they did to take their marriage from what I would probably consider, and they would probably say, was very average or mediocre, and they've really ignited the flames of passion. But part of that whole journey for them was related to some financial decisions that they made, and I want to hear a little bit more of their perspective on that as well. So without further ado, let me go ahead and welcome Tony and Elisa DiLorenzo to the show. Welcome, guys.
Thanks, Derek. Good morning.
Good morning. You're talking to the future. I realize this. I know it's very kind of Back to the Future-ish. I'm trying to put all this together. You are talking to 3 hours in the future right now.
That's right.
Yeah. Because you guys
are...
Wow. Yeah. It's weird to think about. I told you earlier, I think about these things in the shower. lots of very deep philosophical things going on in the shower. You're 3 hours behind because you're in San Diego.
Right.
And the weather today in San Diego, tell it for everybody.
It should be sunny and 75.
Okay. So I'm now going to prevent myself from getting up, getting on an airplane and flying out there so we can finish this show. But that sounds pretty darn sweet to me. So anyway, well, I want to kind of get a sense from you guys a little bit more of where your marriage was and what this kind of interesting challenge was that you had for each other. I think that based on what I've read at your website out at oneextraordinarymarriage.com and what I've heard on your podcast, it sounds like things were pretty normal, but it sounds like that also wasn't good enough for you. So tell me a little bit more about your story.
Sure thing, Derek. You know what? I'd like to start back with our financial issues when we first got married, because that was sort of the starting point for us, and it wasn't too good. It was pretty grim, actually. Elisa and I had been dating through college, and she was in Indiana, and I was in Colorado. Being poor college students, we were pretty smart. We just kept racking up credit card bills.
Oh, sure. Well, they keep throwing you the credit card offers. You might as well.
We might as well. And you know, we would sit on the phone. This is, you know, pre-Skype and
cell phone.
That I mean, we would sit on the phone for 3 hours a night, and then when bills would come in, we would just put them on the credit cards.
Wow.
And that didn't stop after we got married. That just continued on. So
yeah.
It was a rough start for our marriage. And money was a big issue.
Did you guys argue about money a lot, or did you just find that you didn't even want to talk about it?
Early on, we didn't really talk about it. You know, we would just pay the bills and, you know, get new credit cards, transfer balances. I mean, we did all of the stupid. I mean, if you could do it, we probably did it.
Yeah. I mean, the way we talked about finances was, how do we move X amount of money from one credit card to the new credit card so we can then cut up the old credit card to get another new credit card? That was our financial talk.
So you're playing the shell game.
Yes.
Just keep moving around underneath of a different shell.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, the burden over the years, we racked up probably close to $50,000. And I think the burden of just having the credit card bills, it just really hampered our romance and our intimacy with each other. We didn't even have kids at the time, and we were just blah. I mean, an average marriage, I'd say.
Yeah. And but that's what's kind of interesting. You're calling it average, and I think that it's probably safe to say that is normal. That's average for a lot of folks that are out there.
Yeah.
But was there a point where you started to say, you know what, average is really kind of like lame?
Yeah. In 2000, I had the opportunity to hike the Pacific Crest Trail. So that goes from Mexico to Canada.
Wow. Cool.
And yeah, it was really cool. And I was out there for 4.5 months. And while I was out there, I ran across a really great guy named Dave, and I hiked with him for many, many miles. And one of the coolest things that Dave ever did for me was in Oregon, after hiking about 2,000 miles, he handed me a Bible.
Cool.
And that honestly was a turning point in my life. And something similar was going on for Lisa when she was down here in Southern California. She didn't go on the hike with me.
Yeah, I stayed home to support him.
Uh-huh.
Because I didn't think I would enjoy 140 days in the wilderness with a backpack. And that was a good move. That was a good move for our marriage. But while Tony was hiking, I actually had our apartment almost broken into. And it was a very God thing in terms of how I ended up being protected and whatnot. But we were on this parallel course, reconnecting with God at the same time, you know, all of these seeming coincidences at the time, but we can really see God's hand in getting us back on track.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, having us go through these parallel experiences so that when he came home from the trail, we were both in a position to say, you know what, we need to make some radical changes in our life.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was, but were you even talking about how you guys were coming to new spiritual levels, as spiritual maturity at the same time? Were you even talking about that while you were kind of going through this transformation?
It was a little rough. We were, because when I was out on the trail, I would go from town to town, and that would be anywhere from 3 to 5 days. So I would get this crazy hairball idea in my head while I was out there hiking, and then I would dump it on Elisa while we got to talk. And then that conversation lasted maybe about a half an hour, and she'd dump on me, and then I would be gone again for another 3 to 5 days. So while we were actually going through it, not so much. When I came back home, then we started discussing it.
Yeah. Wow. So it sounds like after you had this absence makes the heart grow fonder period of time, and hopefully it was making the heart grow fonder.
Yes.
So what happened when you finally got back together? That seems like a really unusual thing for a relatively new marriage to go through, to have you get married and then boom, all of a sudden you're spending that much time apart. So what happened when you came back together?
It was rough. Tony coming back to Orange County, California, was very shell-shocked after having spent 4 months living out of his backpack to suddenly come back to a community that, you know, money seemingly grows on trees, or at least on plastic.
Uh-huh.
And so there's a lot of, at that time, that was in 2000, there was a lot of just raw materialism. You know, we were very close to South Coast Plaza, Newport Beach, lots of areas where money
just flows.
whether you have it or not, right?
Whether you have it or not.
And I was at the point where, you know, living out of your backpack for 4.5 months, it's easy just to go, we don't need any of this anymore. Let's just get rid of all of it. And we butted heads. And it was the one and only time in our marriage where divorce came up.
Really?
That far apart, even though we were coming closer to God in our own spiritual lives, we were seriously far apart from each other. So it is honestly through the grace of God that
we're still married. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm really kind of curious, what was it? I mean, if you kind of got to that point, let's call it the brink. You got to the brink mm-hmm. here of realizing that, I mean, spiritually, yeah, you're both coming together. But this huge elephant in the room, the 800-pound gorilla, let's say, I've got all sorts of jungle animals in the room here with us. The 800-pound gorilla in the room is this money issue. What was the breaking point? I mean, when did you start to say, you know what, we have got to do something different, because if we stay on this path, things are really going to get ugly?
Well, about a year after Tony had come back from the trail, we had some very good friends who said, you know, you ought to check out Spokane, Washington. You know, you guys want to get out of Orange County. You're outdoorsy. Check it out up there. And so we went on a beautiful fall day, fall weekend, and leaves are turning colors. And so we say, okay, you know what? We're going to move. And
just like that.
Pretty, you know, I think we were both ready for a change.
Yeah.
And so this looked like it would be a good opportunity for us to just get out, do something different. Tony had already been able to find work up there. And so we said, you know what? We need to make a change. We've got to do something different, because we're still struggling. The money struggles are not getting any better. We're finding ourselves deeper and deeper and deeper in debt. And for us, we made a very dramatic change. I mean, we left Orange County and, you know, packed up all our stuff, drove up to Washington State and said, you know what, we have to start just by making our bill smaller. So housing was the first thing that we, you know, we went into a one bedroom apartment and we moved in October. And that winter, we didn't turn the heat on except when we absolutely needed to.
Nice.
We were crazy.
Yes, you were crazy. I like this kind of crazy.
You know, Tony likes to joke that we had probably about a foot of blankets on our bed because, you know, we would just shiver together.
Yeah, yeah. So now, see, so part of me, and I know where our conversation's ultimately going to go here, but part of me would be thinking, well, that would lend itself to more intimacy, wouldn't it? Because this is, it's not so much about just the intimacy. This is about survival. You know, we need to keep warm. So I'll see you under the 1 foot of covers over there and, you know, wear something nice.
Yeah.
The problem was it was so heavy once you got in there, you didn't want to move. All the cold air would get back in there. So it was just, it was an awesome time for us because really we got to build up some boundaries around our marriage. Uh-huh. Having lived down here, my folks lived down here, family lived down here. So there was just a lot of noise and we were really able to just get up there and to focus on each other. And as we were focusing on each other, I came across Dave Ramsey on the radio.
Uh-huh.
And I got the harebrained idea of, you know what, we're going to radically just get rid of this. This makes sense. Let's just get rid of this debt. And it's going to just free us up to be able to do so much more in our lives. And I brought Elisa into the loop probably about 2 to 3 weeks after listening to Dave.
Yeah.
And it was a pretty big shock to her. But once she was on board, I was able to really sell it to her. And that was my goal.
Yeah.
I guess as a husband, I don't know if you should really sell stuff to your wife. But this was one of those points where I was like, I got to sell this to Elisa so we can get out of debt and just move on with our lives. And she got on board and we went after it.
Yeah, we got pretty serious. We were about 5 months after we got up to Washington, we found ourselves pregnant with our first child.
Okay.
Yeah. And so that really became the catalyst. We were both working at the time and we cut everything out of the budget. No TV, no going out to eat, no nothing.
Yeah.
if it wasn't a survival necessity, we just said, you know what, we're not going to do it because we've got this little guy coming in 9 months and we want to be as close to debt free as possible before he shows up.
Right. Cause the crazy thing about kids is they actually cost a lot of money.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do. We're going to be talking about that next week. So we've got a very specific set amount of time here in which you've got to make some major headway financially. And so by the time your child was born 9 months later, where did you stand at that point with that whole process?
We actually, I think we made our last set of payments probably just a couple of weeks before he was born.
Awesome.
We'd actually, you know, we'd been doing little stuff prior to moving up to Washington, but once we got serious and just said, you know what, we're going to live on one income, we're going to cut out all the extras, we've got this goal. It was hard, but it was actually very unifying too for our marriage because we're like, okay, how can we save money this week? And what can we, you know, how many coupons can we use? And where can I shop? Who's got the best deals? And, you know, we shopped at thrift stores for baby clothes and we did, you know, public transportation was really good in Spokane. And so I took public transportation or we'd carpool, anything that we could do that was either low cost or free to get that debt gone before Alex came.
And I think that one thing I want to highlight on all of this, and I think we'll highlight it later when we get to the discussion about more physical intimacy and how that spilled out in the rest of your life. But it came back down to a choice. This was a choice that you guys made. You knew that this financial ball and chain wrapped around your ankles was not going to be in your best interest once you did start to have this family. And so you chose to get radical to change that situation.
Right.
Now, because at the end of the day, we can choose to either get radical, we can choose to just sort of coast, or we can choose to do nothing. And it sounds like you guys decided to go way to that opposite end. You said, I want to get radical. And that's an awesome thing because there you go. You're about to have this baby and you don't have any more debt underneath of you or over top of you. I guess it would feel more like crushing down on you.
Kind of like those put a blanket.
Right. We can go buy a down comforter now and we can eliminate at least two of the blankets.
Right.
So what was it like for your relationship once you got on the, I mean, obviously you have this new baby and you're debt free. And so what was it like from a financial standpoint in your relationship once you got on the other side of that mountain?
It was amazing. Yes, we were dealing with sleep deprivation with a new child.
Right.
But not having that burden, especially with me not working, was one of those things that just allowed us to say, okay, you know what? We've got breathing room here.
It was awesome. It was for me, it was just truly awesome to be, after so many years of having credit card debt and just sort of living the normal American life, it was just like, forget that. I am done with it. I do not want to go back to it. Let's just move on. And it was, to this day, I'm still happy that we did that.
Yeah.
Still happy. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't really think anybody would knock you for not having any debt.
No, but they do look at you cross-eyed when you go tell them we don't have credit cards.
Yeah, I get that too.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because in my office, I've got a bookshelf behind my desk and there's two jars that are full of cut-up credit cards. And and sometimes, you know, people will say, well, do you guys take credit cards? And I say, yeah, we take them. We put them right over there. And I point to the jars. And I probably have about 100 of them cut up between the two jars. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. And people, you can actually exist without a credit card. You'd be amazed, but you actually can. Oh, that's awesome. Well, this is what I kind of want to make a transition here. And the transition is, okay, so we went through this point in time. You guys had, you were physically removed from each other when, Tony, you were making your trek through the western side of the country there. You got back together. You realized that money was a major hurdle for you. You nipped that thing in the bud. Obviously, it took some sacrificing and some difficult choices, but you nipped it in the bud. And you got on the other side of that, but that wasn't really... That wasn't the end for you in trying to get back to a truly united, intimate marriage. So tell me a little bit more about how things have sort of played out for you up until you hit this the 60-day challenge that we'll talk about in a little bit.
Well, once we had Alex, we kind of, I think, fell into routine, you know, in terms of our intimacy. You know, we're sort of that normal couple where you have sex once or twice a week. It's for us, it became, our sex life was just very predictable. You know, there's really no way around describing it in those kind of unglamorous, boring terms, because that's what it had become.
Yeah. We did the same thing over and over and over again. You had a kid, we had a kid, and there was really no excitement. I mean, you just sort of knew this was part of what marriage was about and you just did it and moved on.
Yeah. And I think that you'd probably find that the vast majority of the people out there that you would talk to about this, they'd probably say, well, hey, isn't that just normal? Isn't that just how life goes once you're married?
Well, and I think you're absolutely right, Derek, because we have started talking to couples and we have listeners from our podcast who tell us all the time. Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm not quite in a sexless marriage, but in a marriage where, you know, it's Saturday night, it's 9 o'clock, the kids are in bed, there's nothing on TV. Here's what we're doing. It's time to hit the sheets.
Yeah, right. And, are you fans of Flight of the Conchords?
Yes, Business Time.
Yes, Business Time. And for all the people out there, this will be a link. I need to jot this down. Business Time.
Please do.
Will be a link in our in the post for this particular show. But Business Time is a phenomenal video. And you mentioned that, hey, there's nothing on TV. So it's, the conditions are perfect, as he says.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, we went to your mother's house yesterday, so today must be,
that's right.
Must be Business Time. Yeah. But you know, that's when it happened. And yeah. You know, as I've been in various moms groups over the years, and you know, everybody kind of talks about the same thing. Yeah. You know, we once or twice a week. And there's no excitement. There's no anticipation. Not like when you're newlywed and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, I get to go home to this person again. How fortunate could I be? And then, you know, you're married 11 years and you've got two kids and the mortgage and the bills. And you're like, yeah, great. You're home.
Yeah.
Take over the kids. I'm going out.
Right. Right. So kind of give me a little bit more of an understanding of where were you relationally? I mean, we know that, okay, so you're debt-free, so we know that that particular aspect of your life was more or less in order. But relationally, where were you when you decided that something had to change on this intimacy aspect of your marriage?
You know, we were in a good place in our marriage. We were at a point where we felt everything was going pretty good with the kids. At church, we had been leading a couple. We had led one small group together at our current church. My business had been going well for the previous 4 years, and to this day is still doing okay. So, you know, we were at a good place. We were just not the point where we were with our intimacy was, it wasn't sparkling. It was there, but it was more just the light. It was just fading out at times.
Yeah. It was a low ember instead of a roaring flame.
Yeah.
I see. And so I'm kind of curious because, Tony, it was you, if I recall correctly from the listening to your podcast, it was you that suggested this completely ludicrous, asinine idea, right?
Thank you.
That's right.
Okay. And I want to know what this idea was. I think everybody's interested in knowing.
Yeah. And as a husband, you got to put these asinine ideas out there.
That's right.
So one night, we're about to lead, Elise and I were about to lead a small group on Intimacy Ignited, a book, an 8-week study. And it's all on the Song of Solomon.
Awesome.
And we were excited about this. I mean, we were really wanting to just dive into sex and God's word about sex. So one night while lying in bed and we were talking, we had watched a couple of videos on the internet.
Yeah, there are two couples out there who, one for her husband's 40th birthday, she gave him 365 nights of sex.
Wow.
And that was her gift. She's like, you know, he's turning 40. This is the one thing that I can give him that no one else can. And they never say in their book exactly how nights, but, you know, suffice it to say they made it their goal for a year. The other couple was 101 nights of sex. Uh-huh. And they did their 101 nights. And so, yeah, Tony gets this harebrained idea while we're watching these video clips and throws it out there. Hey, Elise, what if we tried it for the duration of our small group study? And I just looked at him and I said, no, thanks. I'm not interested. I know the study is called Intimacy Ignited, but I am not interested in being intimate for 60 days. And so, you know, I thought about it that night, you know, brushing my teeth, thinking in the bathroom like you, and thought to myself, well, what if? What if I said yes? What would he do?
Yeah.
And on my end, I mean, I'd already put it past my mind. I mean, I was already done with it. It was one of those, hey, it's a great idea. She said, no, let's move on. I mean, I'm just reading in bed. And I was just like, well, I tried and let's jump into our study here and we'll see what happens.
But it didn't happen that way.
It didn't. No. I surprised him. I came back to him the next day and said, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Figuratively and literally.
Exactly. And he looks at me and says, you know what? I really need to think about this.
What?
Well, at that point, exactly. Exactly.
What's there to think about?
That was my response.
Well, as a guy, all of a sudden, I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Because if I'm not able to perform or keep my end of the bargain, I was going to feel bad. So I had to rethink what I'd put out there the night before. I'm glad I said yes, though.
Yeah.
Well, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, well, and we see the outcome of all that now with OneExtraordinaryMarriage.com and what you're doing out there. But, you know, kind of now I've got like 8 questions now. It's really kind of funny. They're all floating into my mind. So we agree. We've gotten over this hurdle. Elisa, you got over your hurdle. Tony, you got over your hurdle. And so now we're going to take this challenge. What were some of the, I guess, some of the surprises that came up as you started to move through this? What were some of the things that you were like, whoa, we didn't realize this was going to happen?
Well, for me, that first month, our first month was like the honeymoon period again. I was so looking forward to having sex with Tony. I mean, I would like call him up and be like, okay, here's what we're doing tonight. you know, or here's what, you know, I'm going to have the room set up, or it was, it blew my mind how excited I could be about being intimate with my husband again. You know, we'd been married at that point in time, 11 years, and to have that anticipation and excitement waiting for him to come home or to call or to text me, it was awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
And on my part, I was, it was just awesome knowing that I was going to have sex every night. as the days kept on going, as each night, it got tougher. And that's where physically and mentally I was becoming drained. But it was just one of those things where it's just like, wow, every night. And we would do different things. We would try to spice it up, and we didn't want to keep it the same. And so that was sort of the fun part in our marriage after having these kids and really investing your time in them, in building the business. We now had this fun sort of just let it go. Let's have fun with our marriage. And Elise and I tend to be a little anal retentive as well. Uh-huh. And there are just times when we both get very just anal.
Controlling. Yeah.
Yeah. And control. Yeah. And so this was really fun. It really broke us free of, man, we only can do things this way.
Right. So you started, you got outside of the box.
Yes.
Yes.
But also just discovered that there are some limitations here. You can't expect, you can't both be Energizer bunnies.
That's true.
Okay.
That's true. Yeah.
And so what, I guess what I'm interested to know is you start to hit that place where, whoa, we're running out of energy and it's becoming a mental and a physical drain. Well, then what? I mean, so did you start talking through those kinds of things? What did you do to make sure that you stayed on track with this challenge that you'd committed to?
Well, the communication aspect of it was really, it was something we started seeing developing in the first couple of weeks when things were really good and new and we were having so much fun. And that's what really had to carry us through the rough times in the 60 days, because Tony ended up, you know, we had 2 weeks of illness in the middle of it between Tony and the kids. And so we had to talk through what was going on with us individually and as a couple to be able to be intimate with each other in spite of the fact that we're fatigued and maybe we don't want to.
Right.
And yet we've made this commitment to ourselves. We told our small group, so we were accountable to them. And it also came down to a lot of prayer. Plain and simple, I got to the point where I did turn to God and say, you know what, I can't do this by myself. I'm hitting the wall, and I made a promise, and so I need help getting that promise fulfilled.
Yeah. That's cool. So we're seeing here that there's obviously there's been a ripple effect by taking this challenge. There's been a ripple effect. And so it's impacting your spiritual life. It's impacting your ability to communicate a little more clearly with each other. What are some of the other areas of your life that have been touched since doing that?
I think for me, having done this and having shared it with so many people, I'm seeing the depth of my personal friendships grow as my relationship with Tony grows. It's almost like I have a greater capacity to love and to interact with others. We were just talking about this yesterday, that I used to be very much a loner. I was very content to do things by myself. And as our relationship has deepened, I'm seeing my networks, my groups of friends really grow and blossom. And that is something that I think probably started about the same time that we were doing this, just been an amazing blessing in my life, that the deeper I am with Tony, the more I have to give to others.
Wow. That's pretty profound.
Because it
would seem that you'd want to become more and more inward focused, but instead there's almost an outward focus now.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that our marriage is on such stable ground and we are so intimate with each other that he fulfills that for me. So I don't need to be so focused on, okay, what's going on with the marriage? What's going on with the marriage? I know my marriage is in a good place. And so while I still keep working on that and working on being intimate with Tony, I don't have to be so laser beam focused on overanalyzing every little thing that he does and, you know, that type of analysis that can make some couples crazy.
Yeah. Now that's, I really like how you're pointing that out, because that's one of the things that I'm working through with a lot of folks on the financial end is, if we can get this financial picture cleaned up, or at least you're moving in the right direction and you know you're on the same page together, that's one less thing that you've got to stress about on a daily basis.
And, absolutely.
And here we're talking about it more on the relational side, and how if we know that our marriage is on that firm footing, then we don't have to get ourselves all into, you know, trying to read in between the lines. And he said he brought in the mail, but what does he really mean? You know,
right?
And those kinds of things. And so all of a sudden we are freed up in our mind and in our spirit, I guess, to go out and start looking for other opportunities to serve out in our life. I mean, am I kind of connecting the dots there? Okay.
You absolutely, Derek. And I think, you know, our process, our journey started when we were getting through our finances. Yeah. You know, that allowed us, when you're not looking every time you get the mail going, oh, who are we getting a bill from today? Who, you know, are we going to be able to pay it? Are we going to be able to do this? Do we have enough money this month? Not having that burden right now in our lives allowed us to be able to tackle our relationship and, you know, has allowed us to progress along this path to where we are right now.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. That is really cool. There's a good question in the chat here that I think kind of applies with all of this here. And Archie asked it. He says, can you address the fact that sex isn't some dirty worldly thing and that it is a God ordained and good thing for marriages?
Yes. We've actually invited, and this is going to sound completely crazy, we've invited God into our bedroom. Through our beliefs, we are very grounded in the fact that our marriage is a gift from God and that he belongs in our bedroom. He belongs as part of our sex life. I have many times prayed when I'm not in the mood to have help to get there. The first time I told Tony that, he looked at me like I had three heads.
I totally did.
How can you pray?
At that point in time, I was in the compartmentalization of God. God wasn't part of the bedroom scene.
Right.
And it's definitely, I think, become one of those things for us where we have built these safe walls around our marriage and around our sex life. We know, obviously, you read the Song of Solomon, you know that God wrote a whole, you know, there's a whole book in the Bible on sex. So, you know, he's definitely tracking with the sex life. And when you bring God into your marriage, it allows you to have that freedom in your sex life so that sex is not something dirty. Now, granted, there are a lot of people that have had, you know, things happen in their past that they might need to work through. But the act of sex itself is a very beautiful God-given gift.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Our pastor at our church, he always loves to tackle the tough stuff, which I love. But he was talking here not too long ago saying that sex is something that all pastors generally, or I shouldn't say all, but many pastors generally love to avoid talking about, because, you know, it makes people uncomfortable. I'm in church. I shouldn't be talking about sex. That doesn't seem good. That seems like that's evil. And he's saying, you know, exactly what we're talking about here. So sex comes from God. It's a gift from God. The Song of Solomon is probably one of the steamiest pieces of old literature that you can read. And yet if we're going to really talk about it in the way that it needs to be talked about, the church, the body of believers, that's where it should be talked about. Mm-hmm. Because when we go out and look at our culture and how they put their spin on what, quote unquote, healthy sex life is all about, it's a pretty stark comparison back to what we see when we read the word. So
that's true.
Yeah. So I'm right there with you. I feel like it has to be addressed in this context, because as soon as we take it out, we put our own selfish spin on it, and all of a sudden we've got this corrupted thing that was supposed mm-hmm. to be so good.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I'm getting kind of excited by all of this. I think that we should issue an intimacy challenge to all the people that are listening, and we will hope that they will actually take it and run with it, because as you guys have demonstrated, there's very little bad that can come out of this.
That's true.
So give me and give the rest of the folks that are listening some insight into, you know, I guess a couple of lessons learned, if you had to do it again, what you might do differently. But let's lay down a little bit of a challenge for these folks.
Go ahead, Tony.
Okay. I think the challenge should be go for 7 days. 7 days straight. And Elisa and I have subsequently done this after the 60-day challenge. And we found it to be just amazing and glorifying to really spend those 7 nights together. And I would put it out there to anybody listening, try for 7 days.
7 days.
7 days. It's a short enough period of time that most people can look at their calendar and say, you know what, we've got, nobody's traveling this week. We're both in the same house, you know, no business trips, no whatever. And you look at your calendar first. Don't just say, I'm going to do 7 days and then, you know, somebody's got to go out of town. But really make a point to court your spouse during that period. That was one of the things that we've learned, is that we've been married for, well, now 13 years, going on 14. We still have to court each other. That didn't stop with the I do's.
Right.
Or it shouldn't have. It did in our case, and we've rekindled that. But you need to, if you want to be intimate with someone, you kind of have to give them a reason to want to get into bed with you. And by courting your spouse, you rekindle those feelings that lead to intimacy.
And that's on the guy side too.
Yeah.
Us guys need to step up a little bit on our game and not just expect our wives to be the ones romancing. And that was one of the big things that I learned in the 60 days and have been doing ever since, is really romancing Elisa and having a little surprise here and there for her throughout the week or months, so that she can see that I do love her and that I do, and I am still totally courting her and wanting and letting her know that I love her.
So it sounds like you're serving each other.
Yes.
Interesting.
Very much so.
Yeah, that's, I love, when we look really at what marriage is all about, it's extremely countercultural, because it's all about serving someone else rather than serving ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a hard time breaking away from that self-service mentality. I think we do in that honeymoon phase, because, oh, this is great. Yeah, I'll do whatever you want. You want me to wash the dishes? I'd love to wash the dishes. You want me to do the laundry? I'd love to do the laundry, and I'll see you in the bed in 20 minutes, you know?
Right.
And we start to get that kind of mentality right up front, and then it's, oh, well, yeah, I don't really feel like doing any of that stuff. But by the way, I am going to need to be serviced tonight, if you know what I mean.
Right. No, you're right on, man.
Well, and what we found too is, after we did the Intimacy Ignited study, we did the 5 love languages with Gary Chapman.
Awesome.
And
yeah,
having gone through that book and learning each other's love language allows us to best serve according to that language. And so, like, for me, my language is words of affirmation. So Tony really knows that to make me happy, I just need to hear a few good words now and then. And that just... That lights me up. He can probably get whatever he wants if I've just heard a few good compliments. And on his side, his love language is acts of service. And so, you know, it's one of those things where for him, you know, if he sees the house is cleaned up and I'm, you know, in clean clothes when he comes home from work, he's all lit up. So it's knowing how, not just serving each other, but knowing what those love languages are to be able to serve one another.
So making it a point, becoming extremely intentional to learn more about your spouse, figure out what those trigger points are that are going to have a large and lasting impact in their mind and in their heart, and just going for it. Is that
right,
basically what you're going with there?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
And what I found is that you can rock your marriage. That's the limit in terms of what happens. We've had just a total transformation in our marriage and how we relate to one another by having done those things where the service aspect, when you start serving one another, the little things that could be annoyances aren't.
Yeah, you just don't even worry about them anymore.
Right, right. Yeah, man, that's awesome. You guys are setting a very strong example here. So we talked initially about the financial side of this and how that was a stepping stone in bringing you to this place where you've got the deeper intimacy, the stronger unity in your marriage. We've talked about, of course, the physical side of this. So where are you going with this now? What is the point of One Extraordinary Marriage? What are you hoping to see happen with that in the days ahead?
Well, we've been doing One Extraordinary Marriage for about 6 months now, and really our goal is to help couples realize that they too can have one extraordinary marriage. It's kind of where the name came from. You know, we're not just talking about our marriage being the only extraordinary marriage. We want couples to realize that, you know, they're normal. All the little stuff, you know, whether he leaves the toilet seat up and that bugs you, or, you know, you fight over the kids. Those are all normal things, but you can develop these tools, learning each other's love language, making intimacy a priority, that are going to radically change your marriage. To have, we like to call it an intimacy lifestyle, where that is your focus. You know, you make your spouse, who was there before the kids and will be there after the kids are out of the house, presumably.
Right.
They're your primary relationship here on earth. Mm-hmm. And so by making the investment, and we talk about different ways to make those investments, whether it's, you know, getting dressed up with your spouse or taking the lead on date night.
Or going on a date night.
Yeah, novel idea.
For a lot of couples, that is a novel idea.
Yeah.
But by going through, we're in the process of writing a book right now, which should be out right around April 1st. So, you know, we're putting all of these different aspects together to say, you know what, you don't have to do everything. You might be doing some things really well right now, but you might know that there's one or two areas in your marriage that are not quite where you want them to be. So let's help you, whether we do one-on-one coaching or we come and speak to your church, let's help you take your marriage to the next level.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. I mean, I think one of the things that really separates you guys from a lot of the other, you know, resources I may have taken a look at, or even people I've heard talk, is you're not afraid to call it what it is. You're not afraid to be open and honest and forthright with all this. You're not trying to skirt around the issue at all. And
no.
And I really appreciate that from you saying that, not only as a guy who's married, but also as a Christian, because I don't like the fact that some people, it's like, we're gonna say sex, and I hope that doesn't make you squirm too much, but I'm not gonna say anything more than that. I'm just gonna use the word sex, and after that, I'm not gonna say anything. I'll just sort of tangentially touch on these things. You're going straight for the middle. You're going straight to the target, and you're hitting it. And I really appreciate that you're taking that kind of open, honest approach to it.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. If you haven't taken a look, don't waste any time. I hope you've enjoyed this show. Now you need to run over to OneExtraordinaryMarriage.com and listen to Tony and Elisa's podcast. Because if you think that they've been open and honest here, you need to listen to those shows. They are phenomenal. And you got, what, about 5 podcasts up now? Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So 5, you can spend a nice early morning early morning if you're on the West Coast, and sort of early morning on the East Coast, listening through those and really get that sense from what they're doing of how to start cultivating that level of intimacy in your marriage. Thank you both so very much for being here and for talking with me about not only the financial side, but also this physical side and how it has spilled over into so many different areas of your marriage. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Derek.
Yeah, I hope you'll hang around a little bit for our after party.
We'll be here.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, let me go ahead and start to wrap up the show here. As we look over the course of a marriage, and we look out at where we stand just financially, physically, relationally, with our communication, all of these things, understand that it is up to you. The choice is yours. Are you going to serve your spouse? Are you going to give grace? Are you going to let there be mercy in this marriage? And are you going to work towards getting to that same page financially? Because the money will touch everything. It truly will. And Tony and Elisa are proof that when you get that financial aspect in place, you're going to be able to start letting that That's under control. We can start focusing on other things now. So I really appreciate them being here. You can find them at oneextraordinarymarriage.com. PastDueRadio.com is where you belong when you want to get the insight for your money, for your career, for your life. Thank you so much for being here. You can listen, watch, chat, and subscribe to our podcasts all at PastDueRadio.com. Please give me your questions. Mailbag@PastDueRadio.com is where you can submit those, as well as 919-374-0501. You can submit your questions there. We're going to be talking about kids next week, so don't go anywhere next Saturday morning. I'd love to talk with you then. I'd love to answer your questions. Thanks so much for being here. I am Derek Sisterhen, your host at Past Due. It's your life. It's your money. Let's make it count.